Hey, it's Elle.
And M.
And you're listening to the Baby Project Podcast.
In this podcast, we will discuss our journeys as well as other warriors going through the ups and downs of infertility.
There's ups?
Yes, there's ups.
Okay. As a reminder, be kind to yourself and skip as needed. We know some topics may be triggering. Let's get talking.
This is episode 21, One Thing After Another. From Sutton, Ontario, we have Courtney on our podcast today. Courtney is a paramedic, enjoys spending time with her family and friends, which includes her little baby girl, Callie, and her three fur babies. Courtney has a passion for photography and is a makeup artist on her spare time. And if she's not on the go, Courtney can be found camping or at her trailer. Welcome, Courtney, to the Baby Project Podcast. It's so nice to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
So let's actually dive into your love story. How'd you two meet? How long have you been together?
So me and Mark, we met, I guess it would be about almost 12 years. It's actually 12 years this month that we met. We were both hired as paramedics for York Region. And we kind of just became instant friends. And then a year later, me being the social butterfly, wanted to do a year party with everyone in our class. So about, I think, 10 of us got together and we went out for drinks. And that night we had our first kiss. And then, yep. And then 2 weeks later was Halloween and we officially became a couple. And we've kind of been inseparable ever since. So far, in a couple of weeks, yeah, Halloween, we will be officially together for 11 years and married for 4.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's been a whirlwind. We kind of did everything quick and fast. I think under a year, we had our home and two of our fur babies. And we've kind of traveled the world throughout the years. And we spent a lot of time with family and friends and, you know, working on the front lines and kind of things like that. Yeah. Mark's a paramedic as well, and he's been doing it a little bit longer than I have because he worked up north for a bit. But yeah, we've kind of been inseparable ever since.
I love a good love story.
Yeah,
he drives me bonkers. Don't get me wrong.
Don't they all?
Right.
So when you guys, you said you kind of like jumped into it both feet kind of thing. Did you have like an original family plan, or did you guys have conversations on what you thought things would kind of look like?
I remember when we weren't like, I don't even think we were dating at the time, and we were just friends, and we kind of, you know, casually talked about how like we both wanted kids and to get married one day. And that was like before even dating. So when we started dating, I think we already knew that that was something in the cards for both of us. But when we started dating, I think I was 24 and he was 25. So we were young, and we, like I said, we knew that we wanted these things, but it wasn't something that we were like ready to dive into. You know, we wanted to work our careers, get established, have a home, you know, and have all those things in order. Plus, you know, I wanted to get married before having kids, and I wanted to travel a lot, right? So I wanted to see the world and do things. And it was always something like we knew we wanted, but it was something that I didn't worry about, right? I never thought that, you know, infertility would be a part of our lives. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody does, but you know, it's just something that you really don't think of when you're younger. Like you don't think that you're going to have a problem, especially when, you know, no one in your family genetically you've known has had a problem getting mm-hmm. pregnant or having kids, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that wasn't really a part of our plan, but not having kids wasn't a part of the plan at the beginning. Like just, you know, when we were 25, that wasn't for us. But, you know, kind of hindsight, when you look back, you're like, maybe we should have started that many years ago. But then you're like, but then we have a decade of infertility under our belt already, right? So you never really know. But yeah, we've always wanted kids. We just, and always wanted to have a family. We just didn't know that it would take so goddamn long.
Yeah. I think we all can kind of relate to that.
Yeah,
definitely. And then over, as the years go on, you kind of continually adjust your expectations, continually adjust what your, you know, outlook is. It goes from like, oh, I would like to have 5 kids one day to, you know, 3 to 2 to please, can I just have one?
I always said to Mark, maybe like 3 or 4 kids. And, you know, as you're, then you're 32 and you're like, maybe 2 to 3. And then 35, you're like you said, like maybe one. Can I just have one child so that I can finally be a mummy? Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's kind of how you get over the years. And unfortunately, it's once you kind of open up and share your story a little bit more, you see more people and you recognize it in yourself. And when you see people without kids that are around your age or getting older, you kind of question yourself. You're like, I think that they could be going through this. Mm-hmm. No one else will question it. They'll ask the dumb questions, but mm-hmm. you know, but you yourself, you kind of recognize it in other people, but at the same time, you still don't talk about it, right? So I think that's, you know, what you guys are doing is great and making a community, and so that women, we can all talk about this freely and not feel so shamed about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think, I was wondering, do you think that people who have children look at people who don't, like our age group, and never wonder if that's something that we would, like, how stupid are our friends and family and people that don't know us that ask these dumb questions?
I honestly think that it is literally ignorance. That if you have never gone through this, if you don't have any kind of medical background or background in it, like infertility yourself, I think that people are so naive to it. And they just, for like the longest time, like me and Mark, like I don't know how many times we've been called this, but we've been called dinks all the time. Do you guys know what that stands for, dinks?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Dual income, no kids. Mm. So yeah. So people are like, oh my God, you guys are just living it up. Don't ever have kids. Oh my God. You guys just look at your lavish life. You get to go everywhere. You get to do this. You get to do that. And we're like, we don't have a lavish life. We just live within our means, and we don't have children by choice. You know, never been said, but you're like, you know, you're kind of like, oh, ha, 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 that's a funny name for us. But, you know, at the same time, you're like, we just want the same things as you. Mm-hmm. We want to have a family just like you do. But in the meantime, we're going to keep living our lives. And that's what we've been doing, like during infertility, was I was like, we can't just stay at home and think about this all the time, because I will literally drown.
Good for you.
Yeah. So like continuing to do things and going to work and doing my other jobs, I think it's also part of distraction.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, each time we would, you know, being like, okay, like we're trying for kids, which was forever. I'm like, should we go to Cuba? Because there's Zika there. You know what I mean? Like, you mm-hmm. know, so you're like, we're like, okay, let's travel to Europe instead. Like mm-hmm. we would do things like that, you know? And then I remember like, finally, I was like, you know, it's been, you know, 3 years without kids. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to Punta Cana with my mom. Like, I'm like, you know, I'm sick of not going to certain places because of, you know, of this. So, you know, we kind of adjusted going other places. And then to the point where I'm like, oh, well, you know, people down there have kids every single day and they're healthy. And one trip on a resort, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That self-care probably did your mental health so much more good. Mm-hmm. than not going and staying here. And
exactly. Right. And not going and constantly like worrying about, and, you know, seeing people go and have fun and people not going places because of this. And then, you know, and it's also too, like, you're like, shit, like we have to save money for infertility too. So you still, you don't go on lavish things like Tahiti or stuff like that, you know, mm-hmm. but you know, like a little trip down south or a smaller trip, you're just like, yeah, but this is reasonable. And like you said, it was like kind of for mental health. Like we did a 30-day European trip, I think in 2018. And I was like, we need to get away. Like we need to go. And, you know, I think at that point it was like a year of over a year that we had already been trying, and we were waiting to get in with a fertility clinic. And, you know, we went away on the vacation and everything like that. And it was a great vacation, but like, you know, you're just kind of like, maybe we'll get pregnant while we're away. Like you're still so hopeful.
Mm, so romantic.
You still have it like nagging right. in the background. Yeah.
And I'm just like tracking, and I'm bringing my little strips with me anyway, being like, hey baby, it's 10. Like, you know, like you're trying not to make it, 'cause you're still like at 1 year, you're still kind of hopeful. Right. Like you're still like, okay, like things are taking longer, but like, you're not in like a complete dark space yet. Like at least I wasn't, right? I was mm-hmm. like, okay, like I know it's been a while, but like you know, maybe tracking is will be better and things like this. And because, you know, it's your first year of like marriage, even though you've been together forever and you live together, it's the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're just like, oh, it's that honeymoon year. Like, we don't need to worry right yet. Because like, that's what everyone says, the honeymoon year, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuck yeah. them in that, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Right? I think too, I look back as well and I wished I could go back to myself and say like, try to enjoy more.
Yeah.
And hindsight, of course, is, you know, everything. But yeah, I think it's so important to make sure that you're carving out that stuff for yourself, whether it be traveling or whatever it is, that you try to still enjoy your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Living your life, really, and not having it consume infertility consume it all.
And that's what I think I did. Like, it's always in the back of your mind, but I didn't let it fully consume me. I think like going back in this last year, I think I was getting to that point. You know what I mean? Starting to get there where, you know, you have days, your Saturdays are more often, I would say, as the years go by. Like, but I was always trying to be like, okay, like you can do this. Like you can go to your cousin's, you know, 1 year old birthday. Like, even though you're like, we've been trying for 4 years and you guys got pregnant on your first try. But, you know, you think about, you can't help but think about things like this because, and it's not that you're not happy for anyone else. It's just that you're so goddamn sad for yourself.
Yeah.
And you're just like, and to the point, and that's what I said. I was like, I'm not like jealous or envious person or anything like that. And I've never been jealous of anything, but I can honestly say that I have felt envious now of people that have families and people that can get pregnant so easily and that they've never had a loss and they've never had to deal with that trauma. Like, it's truly envious of these families that can just organically happen, right? Because like, who the hell wants to go through this stuff, right?
No.
And especially like we've all said, when every other person asks you a stupid fucking question every other day of like, why don't you have kids? You know, you're getting old. You're like, oh, really? I didn't know I had a birthday every fucking year. Like, yeah. So like things like that, I'm just, you know, you get sick of the comments and people, and just, I understand like how, like if you're on the brink of breaking down, how like one comment can just set you off. Because I know that like I've had a day where I'm like, no, you like amp yourself up to go out somewhere and then someone says something to you and you're just like, I need to go home and cry now because like I need this time to myself, not in a good headspace. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like it definitely happens from time to time, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I have said before that like for me to function and get through life and just living and trying to be an active participant within my life with family, friends, professionally, I have armor that I had to put on. I still put it on. You know what I mean? And some days someone or something finds its way through it and just like put a pin in it and it all falls. You know, other days you can kind of muster up the courage to keep it together and get through whatever it is you have to get through. But yeah, there's some days that are really freaking hard.
Yeah. And
what about for you? Did you ever have any issues with like things like holidays or birthdays? Like, were they reminders to you? Were they hard for you?
I think like coming around to like having a miscarriage and knowing like the date of the due date coming up, mm-hmm. things like that. Right. And you're just kind of like, you're like, we might've had a baby now, like, you know, and I think of looking at things like when people do things and like when you look back, you're like, would we be happily pregnant with a kid right now? Would we have a birthday planned out? Like, what theme would it be? Like, I found things like that kind of getting hard around dates like that. And then around Christmas, I think is my hard one because pre-COVID, my family, like on my side, is very big. So there's like, my mom has 5 siblings. There's 11 cousins and they all have kids. So there's like 16 great grandkids. Wow. Right. So like being around them all the time and seeing the kids and then having my cousins be like, oh, cause they're all, most of them are guys, like, Coco, why don't you start having a kids now? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm sorry that you just popped them out. Like, you yeah. know, like, I don't even know how you guys have kids this quickly. Like, you have three under three. Like, how does that happen? Right. Like, mm-hmm. But, you know, I think things like that and just seeing the kids open the presents and kind of shit like that, where you're just, you want that, right? Like, you want that in your life. And I think seeing Mark sometimes, like his face watching the kids, you can almost see that sadness too. And I think that is like where it totally breaks my heart, when I can see him like getting a little bit sad over those things. You know what I mean? That's where I'm just like, oh, like your heart completely sinks, right? Because you feel like you're letting your partner down too, right? And you know, like, even though like for us, it's been like unexplained infertility, everything looks good, even though I've had so many problems, but you know, they fix things with surgeries and things like that. They're just like, everything is unexplained. Like your parts look good, right? So it's just, you feel like you're really letting them down, right? And stopping their life from continuing as well, which is a pretty shitty feeling to put on yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's very lonely and isolating.
Yeah.
That's very lonely.
Very. And just like, as much as like, you know, Mark's been there for me and things like that, but it's still different for guys. Like, you know, I don't think they understand completely the toll on your body and everything. Like, as much as they're physically and mentally there for all of this, it's just like the toll on your body and like how, like, they probably think it was silly, but like how emotional it is, like getting your period every month, like just something like that. And it's not that like you just feel like shit as well. It's like, and you're hormonal, like on your period, everyone's usually like emotional or something. And then like getting it and having that, like, we're not pregnant again, right? Like just simple things like that, that you go through every, you know, it's going to happen every single month, right? Mm-hmm.
The lovely reminder.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like a lovely, like, fuck you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the lead up to it is awesome too. All that stress. Yeah. Every time you go to the washroom, every time you feel a cramp, or anytime you have any type of symptom, you're like, is it PMS or is it a baby?
Yeah.
Because they're so similar. So you play that mind fuck game for about a week and then it comes and you're like, thanks.
Exactly. You're just like, thank you so much. That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, I really needed this.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then when you want it to come, because like your test or whatever, it doesn't, it gets delayed. Why can't you just listen to me?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then that's your stress too, like fucking with your period. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, you're just like, oh, I'm late a day. Like, is this happening? And then after you're like, no, it was just you, because you're stressed out constantly.
Yeah.
Right. About this. Yeah. So you caused this again. Like 100%. Yeah, your body just like playing games with you even more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you touched upon a little bit about, like, you know, the time that you guys have been going through this and some of the, you know, issues and things like that that you've had. But do you want to kind of dive into your journey, your story, and then, you know, what you've been through and then where you are now?
Mm-hmm. I guess it's almost going, I think, about like 7 years now of like officially being diagnosed with endometriosis. I had told my doctor for years, like my family doctor, that I think I have this, like my periods are so painful, like this isn't normal, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I was really let down by my doctor, because her like response was like, you're young, you're fine. And I was like, that's not a real thing for endometriosis. That's not a real thing for any diagnosis. But like, can we get, oh, no, you're fine. And so having that, like, finally, but the reason why we found out that was because I had a miscarriage and then I didn't know I was pregnant at the time. And so it was kind of like a loss. Felt like I just lost something I never knew I had, right? And then from there, it snowballed, because I had a septum in my uterus that I found out when I was younger. And again, the same doctor told me not to worry about it, right? And I asked her several times to see a specialist, and she was like, no, you're fine. You don't need to. This is common. But then when I saw the specialist after the miscarriage, finally, they were like, no, like this could be a reason why that happened. And I was like, so, you know, I think things like that, like where I think like, is this like, you know, could, if I would have followed my instinct, would this have changed? And I think that was very hard for me to swallow too, because you feel like that's like your fault. And maybe if I would have listened to myself and my intuition and pushed harder, like that wouldn't have happened. Right. So I think that was really hard for me kind of to deal with. And then when I had finally the surgery, they fixed the septum and they said it was actually quite significant. And they're like, oh yeah. And we did find endometriosis and polyps and cysts and fibroids. And I was like, oh, I just won the lottery. Like, you know,
I'll
like
take one of each thing.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So you're just like, what else? Like, what else could you find it? Like, if you were just like, there's a unicorn horn in there as well, I'd be like, of course there is. like something, you know, anything that they would tell me, I wouldn't have been shocked anymore. Right. If they just kept telling me more and more things, because it was just like every time there would be more and more setbacks. And then, so my periods got a lot better after they did the surgery, because they cleaned everything up, and that was a huge plus. Mm-hmm. And great. And, you know, and because we weren't actively trying to have kids at that point. So I think it was the year of getting married. No, it was the year before getting married that I had that all finished and done. So it was kind of nice to have that figured out. I got pregnant in, I'm trying to just think what year it was, 2019. Which was a fluke that I found out, because I just had really bad back pain and I was peeing blood, and I thought I had a kidney stone, and I went in and I thought it was kidney stone or a kidney infection, and it ended up being kidney infection. But then I tested positive for being pregnant just a teeny bit. That turned into a roller coaster of going back and forth in the hospital, ended up being an ectopic. So another not viable pregnancy. And, you know, that's very scary having one of those, right? So mm-hmm. And especially when you have medical knowledge, I think it's even more terrifying to mm-hmm. to completely know what it is. And then that led into just, you know, having to heal, and you get treated with methotrexate, which is a chemo drug, right? So from there you can't try for another 3 months after having all that done as well. So you're just like setback after setback, right? And because we were waiting to be funded for IVF in between all this, right? And right when I found out that I was pregnant that time, we were about to do like IUI cycle. But then obviously I was pregnant. So we're like, oh, we didn't have to do that. But then it just turned really bad. And then we had to wait till, because that happened in, I think, July, August of 2019. And then our funded cycle for IVF was going to be March 2020. But we all know the pandemic hit and mm-hmm. fucked up the infertility world, right? So that was just like another kick. And in between, they didn't want to do an IUI again, because, you know, once you have an ectopic, you have a higher chance of having another. So they wanted to be safer, I guess, you know. So we still tried naturally in that time, but, you know, no luck. And then our IVF cycle got canceled in March and then pushed kind of into May, and then we finally got that May, June, right? Didn't go completely as planned, like it never does. You know, some people we heard having, you know, great stories, and, you know, ours didn't work out so well, so that kind of sucked as well. And then we had our next round of IVF planned in October of 2020, and then in November of 2020, I found out that I was pregnant. So going forward from there, my pregnancy went very well. I was scared shitless most of the time. I would say it wasn't, I had every doctor's appointment, I was terrified that, you know, that there would, that they wouldn't find the sac, you know what I mean, in the yolk, like there wouldn't be that. And then the next time there wouldn't be a heartbeat, and then maybe the heartbeat's not there because I barely had any symptoms either, right? Like if I didn't see this little, this tiny little thing on an ultrasound, I wouldn't have believed that I was pregnant. So that went on. And then I think finally around 10 weeks, because I had ultrasound so early because of the ectopic, and then 10 weeks and it showed just this little baby that looked like it looked like, I think people call it the teddy bear pose, because that's pretty much what it looked like. Like the big head, you know, the little the little body and the kind of four little dots for hands and feet. Somebody called it a teddy bear the other day. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know that. And that's when it kind of felt real, because it actually looked like a little baby. And I had never been to that point before, right? Mm-hmm. So that was super exciting. And then just every appointment, though, I was just so scared the whole time. And I think around like, I think it was like the 20 weeks, and we said we would, you know, announce it around 20, like when, you know, we're past that 20 week. And I just couldn't get myself to do it. Like every time and Mark would be like, well, I want to tell my friends. And I'd be like, you can't, because like, I was just scared of losing. And I didn't want to go through having to tell immediate family already that we lost, never mind publicly having to go through that. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think finally I was 26, 27 weeks when we finally announced it to like the social media world. And, you know, people were just like, what do you do? And we're like, oh, and like, well, we, and people are like, what? Like, how pregnant are you? Right. Mm-hmm. So, but it's the reality of women and infertility, right? Like you're scared at every step along the way. And I still continued to be nervous, but I really tried to embrace it, and I absolutely loved being pregnant. Like I didn't get sick. Like I didn't have that stuff, but you're tired and things like that. And you expect that. And I don't know if I had a great pregnancy or if I was just so grateful for being mm-hmm. pregnant mm-hmm. that I just didn't care. Like you know, if I was tired, I was tired. Like I didn't bitch about it. You know what I mean? Like I didn't mm-hmm. complain about anything. People are like, are you just done being pregnant? And I'm like, no, like, I love it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is ever going to happen again. Mm-hmm. Right. Like this is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I really loved being pregnant. And I think it's just because you waited for it so long. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, just such an experience. And I think like that first time you feel them kick, you're just like, holy shit. Like this is real. This is really happening. Like, you know,
there's something there.
Yeah. Like you really can't believe that you just have this little being there. And I remember just like holding my belly and just being like, you know, talking and like, I love you so much, because we never found out the gender. Like we didn't want to. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So we went to 40 weeks and this little one still wasn't coming out. So we were scheduled to be induced at the 41 week mark, but our baby decided to put me into labor on 40 weeks and 4 days. And on July 18th, we had our baby girl. Hmm. And it was just the most emotional and beautiful experience. And it was so fucking painful and awful. it's really tough. I had a long one. It was 26 hours and 18 without an epidural. So she made me wait there, but she braced us just before midnight on July 18th, which is also Mark's brother's birthday. So that was kind of cute that they have the same birthday. Mm-hmm. And she came flying out into this world, and I have just been grateful and happy that she came out healthy. And we have just been loving life with our little girl.
I love it. Congratulations on
yes, congratulations.
And you know what's so funny? I mean, people who are going to be listening to this episode, they can't see your face, but we can see your face right now while we're recording. And I can even just see the light in your face when you started talking about being pregnant. Mm-hmm. And even just up till now, the difference in your emotion and your demeanor when you're talking about, because it's a dark and shitty time.
And it's so shitty.
To relive that and to talk about it out loud, I could see that within your face. And then as soon as you start talking about being pregnant, I could see it lifting and the light coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you do though, like you feel lighter finally, like once they're here, like I feel like being pregnant, you know, you're still like, waiting for that shoe to drop. Like mm-hmm. you know, because you've seen it and it's happened to you so many times that you're, like, you worry constantly. And that's where, like, I think part of you is sad for yourself, because, like, you just wish that, like, you know, people at 8 weeks that are announcing that they're pregnant and they've been enjoying their pregnancy since day one, where you have a little bit of it taken away from you, mm-hmm. you know? So you're, because you want to enjoy every minute, but you're scared to enjoy it too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, what if I get hurt even more because I'm so invested in this, right? And no matter what, you would get hurt. Like, it doesn't matter, because in your heart, you're so invested. But on the outside, you try to remain cool. But on the inside, you're just like, I'm fucking pregnant.
You got it. You just nailed it.
But on the outside, you're still just being like, yeah, everything okay. But yeah, we don't want to announce it yet to family and friends. And on the inside, you're just like, I can't believe this. You want to tell the world, you want to, like, the fucking second you find out, you want to scream it to the world. You really do, because you're just so like, you're like, thank you, body. Like for like, we finally did it. You know, I'm happy. I'm proud of you. Like, we're going to be fucking parents. Like, you're so excited, but then you reel yourself back into everyone else because you don't want everyone else to see your highs and your lows, right? Mm-hmm. I think because that's where I think that's where it can get even worse, or even someone to pity you, right? Be like, oh, you're like, you don't get it. So fuck off. Like, you know, this, like, don't pity me over here. But I think just like finally, like when she's here and knowing that she was healthy, because I think that last 2 weeks too, you get back into like, shit, what if she comes out and there's something wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you think of that 40 week or that stillborn or something like that. Cause like this stuff happens and you know, you get yourself worried at the end. And then all you do is just like pray that when this baby comes out, that everything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and you're just like, and once you have like that title of like being a mom with a healthy baby, and you are like, that is when I feel like the weight has been off, is when I have finally, like, she was put on my chest and crying and she peed all over me instantly. You know, and that's where they're just like, everything looks good. And you're just like, you just have like that release even more, right? Where you're just like, okay, like, I feel like we can finally breathe in this process.
Shoulders.
It's so funny because I was just going to ask Courtney, and you just pretty much summed up like what I was going to ask. I was like, did it feel like you could finally breathe? Cause you've been holding your breath the whole time. You answered that. Like it was a flood of emotions and of release. Cause it's all like flashbacks of all the shit that you've gone through, and here we go. Here she is in your arms. So that's awesome. That's so awesome.
So it's been great. And just having her and even I think like my sister's over and staying with us for a few days to spend time with her niece, but like she would like, you know, and she's just like, are you guys going to start trying for kids like right away, you know? And I know, like, but we had talked about it already, so it wasn't like an insensitive comment, because I kind of brought it up yesterday, but I said like, you know, like we don't know, like, but unfortunately, like you have all this bliss and your weight, but then you're just like, I would love you to have a sibling, but is that going to happen? Like, you know, and you're just like, are we going to have to go through more IVF cycles? Are we going to have to go through adoption? Are you naturally going to get pregnant? Like, And then, you know, I'm just like, but I'm just enjoying her so much. And you don't want to take any of that away from her, right? So, but unfortunately, as somebody that has struggled, you're just like, do I let this all start going in my mind already? Or just like, let it be.
You want to unleash that beast already again?
But like, but you can't help it. Cause you know, like, and if you are somebody that envisioned having children, not just one, you know, and having siblings because you grew up with siblings and you're like, yeah, like I want my kids to have siblings. Like it's hard to envision just having one, but at the same time, you're just so goddamn grateful that you have this little one, right?
Absolutely. And you already, like, even just going through treatments, right? Like you hold on to like every embryo that you get, every egg that's retrieved, like they all mean something. They are all someone, they are a part of you. Mm-hmm. They have a future with you. Like you have, you're already planning it ahead of time. You're not just thinking about one, you're thinking about all of them or the potential of them and you know, what could be. And, you know, because your dreams are, when you go through infertility there, it feels sometimes like they're taken away from you. So you're already planning because now you have that, you know, that hindsight and you're like, okay, I'm going to get out in front of it now. And I'm going to be I'm going to be louder. I'm going to, you know, I want to circle back if we can to, like the IVF. We usually ask kind of like what it was like, cause everybody has such different experiences, right? Like some women overstimulate, some have, they're okay. Others have really bad side effects with the meds. Like how did your cycle go for you?
Like the cycle itself, it was fine. Like I, you know, Mark did like help me do the shots. Like I love, it's so funny. Cause like being a paramedic, I love giving needles and IVs and like stuff like this, but then just that thought of giving yourself one, you're like the shaking the fist. You're like, this is the tiniest needle. Why is this even a big deal? Right. But somehow it still is. So, and I think it's like that part going in your belly too, right? Like maybe if it was just like a jab at my thigh, it'd be easier, but like going in the belly, I think sometimes you're just like, ooh, is this one going to hurt? So I think that the little like needle mind games that it plays with you, but you're like, it's not even, some hurt more than others, but for the most part, I was okay. But yeah, Mark would help me do them most of the times if he could. And then when he wasn't, cause he was on nights or working, then I would give them to myself. And that was fine. Even I think I gave my trigger shot to myself, like on our first cycle. And I was just like, I had to amp myself up for that one a little bit. I was like, okay, you can do this. And I think I even took a video of myself because I was like, okay, like we want to see like all the steps along the way. Cause this is like, this is our for sure to our family. Right. And so that was fine. Our retrieval, like I never felt, I felt like that bloated feeling that you get, right? Where you're like, you just do, you, like you feel like your ovaries are super big and everything, but it wasn't anything terrible. Like it felt just, you know, just bloated and you're kind of uncomfortable, but nothing awful. Retrieval went well for our, for the IVF and we got like 19 eggs. So yeah, so that was fine. Like the sedative wore off, like I had no problems with anything like that. I remember Mark, like, I think we got 19 eggs at that point, you know, Mark was just there, you know, you come out kind of loopy and stuff like that. But like, I never had any problems with going through a cycle, like that first one anyway, like it was, it seems like everything was okay and fine. Right.
I had to also amp myself up to do injections because I, my husband always did the PIOs or the anything that had to go in the muscle because I cannot do that to myself. So I always did my own sub Q injections. Because I don't know, I didn't have like trust, right? For your belly. It's just, it feels different, but I would have to set my timer for like half an hour before when I actually had to give it to myself because I needed the time to cry and scream and, you know, amp myself up so that way I could actually poke myself because I found the same. It was really difficult to give
injections to myself. But it's so small. Like that's, I'm pretty sure like the trigger shot though, I did half an hour and I was like, okay, we're going to do this. We can do it. You got this. Like, why are you even scared of, like, what do you have piercings? Like what is so scared about this? It's going to be like 10 seconds, but it's literally just doing it to yourself. Like you just like, are like, oh yeah. And like, And I'm not even like scared of it or anything like that.
Right.
But you just get yourself like, it's just this mind game that you're like, I have to give it to myself. God damn it. Right.
Yeah.
And you go to do it and you're like, okay, I got this. And you're like, no, I don't got it.
Oh my gosh, you sum up our episode. It's like that. It really is.
Yeah. And then you're just like, you have to do this because it's time sensitive. You have like 1 minute to get this into you. Like, you know, so you're just like okay, we can do this. We can do it.
Yeah. And then you have to like psych yourself out, right? Like, remember why you're doing this. And
yeah, but that's exactly right. You're just like, you can do this. Like, you can do anything to get to that point, right?
Mm-hmm. Crazy ride. The injection portion is a crazy ride.
Could we actually loop back to when you got your positive? I always find this is like one of my favorite parts is when I find out that there is a positive. I always kind of want to relive it because it's almost like negative for like years and years. And then all of a sudden, like, what the fuck? There's an actual line. Like, I just want to know if you can just see how that or relive that part a little bit.
That part was, it was November 6th of last year. And I was actually doing a family session shooting my cousin, his fiance, and their two like beautiful little girls. And she was also pregnant with her third. Right. Yeah. So like this whole family and like, I love these guys to bits and pieces. And just before the session, I was kind of like, oh, like your period's supposed to start in like, you know, a day or two. And I know you're not supposed to test it beforehand, but I was like, you know, I was like, I'm just going to pee on a stick now. And then like I pee and I was like, got that instant, like one line, fuck you. And I just remember being like, oh, like that sucks. Like so defeated. I just like threw the little test like on my my counter in my bathroom. And I was just kind of like, you know, looked in the mirror and I was like, you knew it was going to be negative. Like, why'd you get yourself amped up? Like, don't worry about it. You know, just put yourself together. You have to go spend time, you know, with kids and everything like that. Like, you're going to be okay. And I remember like going out and doing this family session with like this absolutely gorgeous family, right? And it's just like so beautiful seeing all the love that they have for their kids. And like, I remember just being like, oh, like, I just want this one day. Like, that was my moment that I was like, I am envious of this. Like, that was the moment where I was like, yeah, I'm like, I want this that badly. Like, you know, like, there's so much love here. And it's just, it's so beautiful, like seeing families together. Right. And when I came home, I was just like, you know, kind of like put my stuff down, started loading up the pictures. And I was just like, you know, one day. And then like, I came upstairs and I was like, okay, I'm going to get to, you know, jams for the rest of the day. Cause like who hangs out in proper clothes? Like, you know, we're all just hanging out. So I was like, I'm going to go put my sweatpants on. And the test was upside down and I just like flipped it. Cause I was just going to flip it. Like, you know, look at one more time and, you know, toss it, you know, into the negative pile, you know, that everyone has. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can never just throw it without looking
at it. Yeah. Just throw them away. Like, right.
Another 10 times before you toss it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I just like flipped it over and I was like, what in the actual fuck is that? Cause there was like a light second line and I was like, wait, what? And I was like, no, like, that's not real. I was like, okay, you're not supposed to look at it though hours later. You're supposed to look at it within minutes. So maybe this is skewed. Like, what's going on? And then your mind's playing games with you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so I was like, oh, but I'm like, but no. I'm like, and I pulled out all my other negative tests. I'm like, none of these have a faint line. None of them. Right? And I was like, oh, is this it? So like, I wrote the date on it and then I put it. And then I remember like, I went downstairs and I didn't say anything to Mark because all of our other pregnancies did not end well. And I did not want to tell him in case this was like another loss or something, right? Another, not a real pregnancy. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just check in the morning again. And when we were downstairs, I was loading the pictures and there was one picture like of my cousin throwing his daughter in the air. And it's just like this perfect picture. And I was like, look at this. And I showed it to him and I could see like tears in his eyes, right? And I was like, are you? He's like, I just hope one day that I have a picture like that. He's like, because he's like, those two are going to cherish that picture forever. And in my head, like, I wanted to say it then, but I was like, maybe you will in 9 months. Mm. You know, but in my head, I was like, don't say this, because like, you're going to break his heart as well. Right. Mm. So the next morning, I took a test and there was a faint line, and then another faint line. Like, it was getting darker and darker. So I called the clinic, like our fertility, and I was like, I think I'm pregnant. Like, and they were like, okay, well, you gotta, like, yeah, come in for the blood work, right? So I went in, and it happened to be our dog Moose. We got a puppy, and it was her first birthday. And so I went in the morning, I was like, just going to acupuncture. And he was like, okay, because I was doing acupuncture from like in, you know, trying to prepare your body for the cycle and pregnancy and like all this stuff and nurturing your body. And he was like, okay, see you later. Meanwhile, I was actually going to the clinic to get blood work done.
Was this all in and around the time of your second IVF cycle?
Yeah.
Because you said that you were getting geared up to do your second one.
Yeah. So this is, yeah, with the second IVF cycle. And then, so I went into the clinic and got tested, and then they're like, yeah, just wait. They're like, I'm like, I don't want to find this out on the portal. I'm like, I need someone to call me like right away, like as soon as this comes in. Cause like, I don't want to sit there every 5 minutes and being like, can it refresh? Right. Mm-hmm. So the nurse was like, don't worry, I will call you right away, no matter. And I was like, okay, thank you. And then Mark had just left to go to his parents to go help do something. And my phone rang. Like, I swear, like he walked out of the house for 30 seconds and the phone rang, and it was our nurse, Lindsay. And she was like, Courtney. And I was like, I'm like, what is it, Lindsay? What is it? She's like, we have good news. You're pregnant. Your levels are 523. And I was like, oh my God, like, that's a good number. This is happening. Like, shit. And I was just like, are you sure? She's like, yes, I'm 100% sure. And I was like, okay. And then I sat there and, you know, I was just like on this high and so excited and just so, so fucking happy. And I remember I always wanted to get Mark something, like, you know, like daddy's little thing, like a little onesie or something like that. Yeah. And because, you know, we do have baby stuff that we bought over the years, mm-hmm. right? That we put aside in a little box, you know, that were there. But I always wanted to like get something made for him the second I found out, right? But I was like, I can't wait any longer. I can't wait a day for this. So I went upstairs and I grabbed one of his white shirts out of his closet. I wrote birthday girl on it, on the back, and on, because our dog is a girl. So I wrote birthday girl on the back, and on the inside, I said, no longer the baby, big sister, July 2021. So, and I put this like his t-shirt on her, cause I was like, no, I don't care. I'm like, I have to tell him right away. And then he came to the house and I videotaped him, and I was like, oh, look at, and he's like, Moosey, what's on you? And he's like, oh, birthday girl. And then I was like, come over and lift her up. She's a big dog. Like, she's 100 pounds. So, like, sit her up. And then he's like, no longer the baby. He's like, what? And he's like, I get. And I'm like, no, fully lift her up. He's like, big sister, July 20. He's like, what does that mean?
Are we getting another dog?
I was like, and he's like, are you pregnant? I was like, yeah. And he's like, how? How? He was like, are you sure? Are you sure? And I was like, yeah. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I'm like, yeah, I am. He's like, really? He's like, I'm like, yeah. And like, we just like hugged and cried and we're just like wildly happy. But like, he was just like, I did not think this was going to happen. Right. Mm. Like your husband saying, how?
How? Is it my child?
Yeah. Right. But yeah. So that's like how I found out and like how I told him. And it was just, and then from there, like, that was our little moment of bliss. And, you know, definitely scared for those next ultrasounds and all the weeks coming, like I said. But yeah, that was the finding out day, where initially I thought it was just another negative test. But maybe, you know, if I waited 5 minutes longer, I would have saw that line initially. But you're so used to mm-hmm. having a negative that I was just like, oh, there's another one, right?
Mm-hmm. Love that story.
Yeah. I know. That moment was like, you know, a true high, high moment.
Mm-hmm. It was.
But infertility robs you of so much good moments. How did it affect your relationship with your husband?
I think with us, like, there's, I don't know if anyone can go through this saying that, like, there were points that, like, you just fucking flipped out on each other, right? Or got emotional, or, like, I remember even one point when I was just so low being like to him, like, maybe we shouldn't be together and you should be with someone else because so that they can give you kids. Because, like, I feel like I was just so low and I felt like if, like, that wasn't fair. If I wasn't able to get pregnant, it wasn't fair for him not to have, like, biological kids, right? Mm-hmm. And so I remember that moment was, like, very low for me. And he was like, no, like, no matter what happens, like, we'll have kids together. Like, if we adopt, like, and he was so, like, I remember when I broke down that one time and told him that, he was like, no, he's like, even if it's us forever, it's us. He's like, but we'll figure out how to have kids one day. You know, he's like, well, one day we'll have a family, you know? So I think it's, you go in highs and lows, right? And when the other person's down, like, you try to bring them up more. And, but you both know that the whole time going through this, you're always kind of down, right? As much as you can get distracted from a birthday party or attending a wedding or going somewhere, but, like, there will always be a moment in something that will bring you back down to that level that you have to kind of fight, you know, like when you're at a wedding and there's a mother-daughter dance, or sorry, mother-son dance or whatever, and you're like, am I ever gonna do that one day? Seeing your friends, all of your friends and all your cousins having kids, right? And, you know, I can see it in him, and, you know, I'd be like, are you okay? And as I think as a guy, like, Mark definitely does not show his emotions sad like women, like where we can kind of express ourselves or just let yourself go and cry or whatever, where his is like distractions and like kind of anger, right? Just being like, nope, I'm gonna do this around the fucking house right now and I'm gonna go fix this. And you're like, oh, why are you moving so quickly? What's going on? But it's, I've learned to be like, no, that's your way of like dealing with something and coping. Expressing and coping, mm-hmm. right? And there's definitely times that like you're at each other because you want something and you're trying to do something, but you're so emotional and like, you know, you get hopped up on hormones and shit like this and things bug you and you're not trying to be rude, but then they're emotional too because they've been on this path as long as you have. And I think sometimes you forget that a bit because you're the one physically going through it, that, but you're just like, as much as you physically went through it, they still went emotionally and mentally through it the whole time. And it's mm-hmm. something I think that you can lose sight of. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember that, like, these were all their losses too. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they thought, you know, they were going to be a daddy and, you know, never got that chance either. Right. And as much as you may mourn something outside, like, you know, and you can say it, they're doing it inside. And I think we had a bit of disconnect at some parts because, you know, I'd be like, doesn't this even bug you? And, you know, then he's like, of course it bugs me, but like, I'm just not talking about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of hard going back and forth when just women and men typically deal with things differently. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and even, it's not even just women and men, it's different personalities deal with things differently. So, you know, I can say, like, you know, me and my sister have the exact same DNA, but we do not deal with things the same at all. Right. And I think you have to remember that and help each other through things in the way that you need to be helped mm-hmm. and not always the way that you see fit. Mm-hmm. Cause I know for the longest time, I'd be like, okay, well, let's talk about it. But I'm like, but you're not me. You don't need to talk about things. Or I've learned, Mark, I'd be like, do you want to go to the gym? Do you want to go for a walk? Like, let's take the dogs out. Cause like, that's him getting out, doing something, getting that bit of distraction to you know, so that you're not circling and that you're kind of like, okay, yeah, let's talk a little bit about this or something. Right. Mm-hmm. But, and I've also known friends that marriages have ended over infertility. Right. And you don't want to be that couple, like, right? Like, you don't, and you, but you don't know at points if you're strong enough not to be that couple. Like, there was points where I was like, I don't know, like, if we can do this, like, because you're both struggling so much and you want something, and you know, it's just, it's really hard to wrap your mind around that maybe it's just our genetics together that this is why it won't work, right? And but then you're just like, but I love this person and I can't be without this person, but can we survive together without having a family, or will that break us, right? So it's just, you kind of go back and forth with things. And there was times that, you know, like you get really low in a relationship, and but at the end of the day, it was always like us coming back to each other and being like, we're still here, we're still moving forward with this. And you know, you just, you always have to be there for each other, because if you don't, you will be a couple that doesn't make it through infertility, which is heartbreaking to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely.
It definitely tests your marriage to a whole other level.
A whole different level.
And right? Testing that your vows out. Yeah.
Yeah. That you couldn't, you would never fathom this. Like nobody in their vows says, I'll stick with you through infertility. I've never heard that once. Okay.
And maybe I'm a wedding it's under the sickness category, through sickness, right? And in health.
Right. But you know what I mean though? But like, yeah, when you think of things that, you know, that you wanted so much and, you know, that you never thought possible, like, you know, if you could give somebody a crystal ball and be like, but this is what our marriage is going to have in the next 10 years, like this shit show, you know, would that person still do those vows? Right.
Yeah.
Like some people, and, but like you said, you are supposed to be there for sickness and health, and, but you know, sometimes people can't handle these things, right? Because, you know, you have one life and you envision it a certain way, and there, you know, there's things that you can put past and there's things that you can't, right? And as a couple, like, you know, it's just, it's hard, and sometimes people can't.
I think too, the, like, it's so important that you keep showing up for each other, because eventually, right, infertility is never just a 1 month journey. So like over time, you start to put those dividers between you. If you don't keep showing up and coming back together somehow and reconnecting to go through it together, it will just continue. The divide will just get bigger and bigger. And then it's way more difficult to try to come back together as one.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly it. Like you just said, you have to show up for each other. And as much as you have like your down days, and you know, like both sides need to recognize that each of you is struggling and each of you needs help. And, you know, and sometimes it's not even saying words or having a conversation. Sometimes it's literally just sitting on the couch, wrapped in each other's arms, just being there for each other, you know, even in silence. Like, but you need to have that connection and that closeness still, that you can still, you know, feel safe in each other's arms, right? And kind of feel still loved. Like, I think that's very important going through this process. And, you know, if I could say it back then to myself, because I, you know, I lost my patience a lot of the time. And I think if saying anybody going through this, like, in infertility, you have to have patience. Like, that is the one thing that you need in this is patience. And because like you said, it's not 1 month. Like it's never, like, you know, every once in a while you hear about those people that, you know, they did something, they went through, and it's a great success. But for most part, like, you have to do multiple treatments, you have to do different treatments, you have to try new paths, right? You have to try new medications. So, you know, and when you're going along with it so long and long, like, it wears down on you, and you get more irritable, right? And you get pissed off, and it is easiest, like they say, to take it out on the person close to you. Mm-hmm. And who's that? That's your other half, your significant other, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And for those who are like going through the journey sort of privately, right, and not announcing, or, you know, even when you're talking to friends that have children, but they are supporting you, or family members, it's hard for you to truly sort of express how you're feeling in entirety, but your partner knows exactly what's happening. So you can just blurt out and say, whatever it is that you're thinking or feeling, because they already know where you're coming from. So it's easier for you to like unload and dump on them, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it definitely is. And like, I didn't, and I was one of those people, because like, I didn't tell anybody that like we were going through stuff or when things happen, like maybe just our parents, because, you know, like, have to go to the hospital or something like that, or have to have surgery, right? And that's, you know, you tell your parents, even though I'm like, I don't even want to share this because it's a sad story, and they're going to get sad. But, you know, you tell them to let them know so that they don't worry so much, but you know that they're worried too. And that's another thing, like, you worry people around you, and, you know, but that's another reason why I didn't want to tell like siblings or parents, because I'm like, I don't even want them to worry about this. Like, I don't want them. And I don't want them to get too high either, because I don't want them to be disappointed. So that's another thing that you worry about, right? Is upsetting other people outside of just the two of you.
Yeah.
Right. And that's like, for me, like, I didn't share things until last year. And it was only with a couple people, because I was like going through the first IVF round was, you know, devastating in the end. And I was like, I need some more support. And I opened up to just three girlfriends, making a little group chat at the time. And then, and I was like, okay, I'm going to need support going through the second round, because the first round rocked me. Right. And, but you know, when you're like 3 years into it and 3.5 years and 4 years, and you're just kind of like, when's it going to end and when's it going to get better? And, but I think having that support finally felt a little bit better, maybe probably a little bit better for Mark too. So that he didn't, you know, have to hear about everything every day. And it's not that he doesn't want to, but he knows everything. You know what's going on. He knows what's going on. You know, but emotionally as a girl, like, you know, it's easier sometimes to talk to your girlfriends about things, right? And if someone has gone through something, or, you know, it's a bit easier to talk to someone like that instead of, you know, it's just different, I think, girls and boys talking about things.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
I know you said, you know, one thing that you would tell someone is, you know, pack your patience, the going through infertility, which I'm still waiting to learn that lesson, because fuck, I'm not patient at all. And I have not learned patience, even though I've had to be so patient. Is there something else that you feel like really strongly about letting, you know, someone who's listening to you right now know, who may be going through a similar experience?
I would say that you're not alone. I think that people feel like they're alone and isolated, but there are so many women that go through this. The most unfortunate group of people to be a part of, but, you know, but the best people are in this group of infertility, right? And that there's support out there. And if you can find support with other women that are going through it, I think that for me too was so helpful. Mm-hmm. Was finding my group of women that went through this and asking them to be in a group chat and being able to talk openly with people that are going through it was such a help. Instead of, you know, talking to someone, your best friend, they may be supportive of you because they always have been, and they've always been an advocate and they can be your cheerleader. But, you know, if they have gotten easily pregnant on themselves and they don't completely understand the whole roller coaster that you've gone through. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, sometimes even a little comment from, you know, your mom or your best friend who means well, being like, you know, don't worry, it'll happen. And like in the back of your head, you're just like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
It's just like the reality, my reality is that it won't happen. And, you know, but they mean so well, right? Like it's not ill, but like, other women in infertility, we don't say that shit to each other. Mm-mm. We just say like, I'm sending you my strength and my love, and I'm hoping that this is going to turn out better for you. Like, and you know, we are like, what do you need from me right now? Do you want to scream? Do you want me to bring over ice cream, vodka? Which one? Like both? Like, what do you need from me right now? Right. And I think that is just such a key, is patience and having a community that you can speak to and talk to. And that's why like you guys doing this is so valuable, and seeing other women talk freely about it, it's so encouraging. And it it takes a little bit of weight off when people start reaching out to you, when you start opening up, being like, I went through this too, and thank you for saying this. And you're just like, I didn't even know you went through it. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think finding a support system, and like, I know it's not as easy as it is right now, but you know, communities like yours and ours, like, are trying to make this so that women can speak and talk about it. And
yeah.
And even sometimes just vent. That's all you need. Sometimes you just need to vent and let people know, and then let someone know when they're like, yeah, this sucks. And yeah. You know, and you don't have to have, you know, the kind of encouraging words, you know, that other people mean well, that you're just like, those aren't helpful.
No, you don't have to have
the answers. Stay positive. Those ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Like those, yeah, those really annoying, stay positive. Oh, it'll happen. Everything's going to be great. Don't worry. You were born to be a mom. You're like, thank you for all of that. That just crushed my soul even more. Yeah. Right. Where, you know, women like us, we're all just like, yeah, that's, you just got fucked. Yeah. Again. Yeah. That's unfortunate. And, what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to talk about something else? Do you want to go on a shopping spree? Do you want to drink vodka? Like, what's up? Like, yeah. Where I think you can appreciate the rawness, you know, where you don't have to sugarcoat shit with us. And, you know, and I think that's just really important. And if you're somebody that knows someone going through this, I think that's just what they need to learn, is that we don't need you to fix the problem. You can't. Mm-hmm. But we need you to ask us what you can do to help.
Yeah.
And I think that's overlooked a lot, because people tend to want to help you or fix you or do something.
Offer
and
advice.
Unfortunately, this is something that you can't. So, you know, just saying the simple things, what do you need? Can I help you in any way? I'm so sorry. I love and support you. Is all that we need, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that goes a hell of a lot farther than don't worry about it, it'll happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think too, like, part of that message is that, like, doesn't matter even how shy you are, or, you know, like, just reach out. Just reach out in the community, because I have found that meeting people throughout this process in the last few months, it's like you have an instant bond. It's a complete stranger, and all of a sudden you become instant friends, because you have this bond on a level that you don't have with anyone else in your life. And then when you just start building on that, and
it's true though. Like it's honestly, it's so weird that you said that, because I have had more real conversations than with a lady that I met at the dog park, you know, who I opened up immediately to what was going on, because she was just like, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. Just said one thing. And I was like, oh, like, she's like, yeah, I suffered from this, like, you know, but my daughter's here. And I was like, I'm going through that right now. And it was like instantly. And I didn't care about anything that she said. Like, it wasn't, you know, you were just kind of like, okay, like, you've lived this, you've gone through this. Like, mm-hmm. you, like you said, you instantly connect, and you can tell them what you're going through easier than someone who hasn't lived in your shoes before, right?
Yeah, it's an immediate safe space. We all know. So it's a safe space for you to be in at any time, in any point of your journey. Even if it's, you know, because unfortunately infertility lives with us forever, it will never go away. The trauma of this will never leave us. So it might be in 5 years from now, you know, you're going to sit and have a moment where you're like, fuck, you know, and just like totally back in it again. And you know that you could reach out to anyone and just like automatically get that support that you need, no matter where you are.
Yeah.
Courtney, we cannot thank you enough for being here with us today and sharing your story of, you know, complete perseverance and resilience. And that, you know, we also thank you for, you know, being brave. If we listened to the podcast prior, you were the brave one who was able to say like, hey, this is shitty. Does somebody want, you know, to help me? And kind of started the sort of, well, where's Helen chat, which then has snowballed to where we are now. and to where you guys will be in the future. So thank you for being so brave and doing that. And congratulations again on your little girl. And we wish you all the very best in the future. And remember, everyone, that in any project, including the baby project, you must take things one step at a time.
Got a question for us? Or perhaps you would like to share your story and be a guest on our podcast? Feel free to connect with us by emailing us at thebabyproject_@outlook.com or DM us on Instagram @thebabyproject_. Thanks for listening.